Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk and delve back into Bobby's training camp notebook brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Help us get into those notes. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also at practice today. You can check out his article about the Saints day 8 of camp, the highs and lows. Check it all out from the indoor practice facility at WWL.com. Jeff, quite an exciting session of camp today.
A lot of passion, a lot of emotion.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy today. And you know, I think over 3 days of practice out in the sun, it kind of wears down on you a bit. And you could tell, like, they were excited to get indoors and just get some work done without worrying about, like, heat stroke, right? Like, everyone was running around. Everyone had energy. And I think they got some really good work done. And I just think you see, you know, like, you can only make so much out of vibes, right? Like, every year everyone seems upbeat at this time of the season. But I think you can tell sometimes, like, when team morale is good, when guys believe in the system and they believe in what's happening, you know, there's just a different energy. And you've been around these camps a lot longer than me, Bobby. Like, I haven't seen a team that engaged like we saw today in years for the Saints. I think that's a good sign for a first-year coach.
Yeah, like they all into practice. I mean, a Kool-Aid, man. I mean, I want to wake up and drink what he drank before practice. But he was showing
the field, just going. Woo!
Yeah, he was a lot of passion. Maybe it was a special Kool-Aid. I don't know Kool-Aid McKinstry, but boy, I thought that's what you need, though, especially from a defensive standpoint. You know, an offensive lineman. You know, just do your damn job. You know, kind of like, I don't know too many offensive linemen, usually they're kind of quiet, they do their job. But defensively, you got to play with that passion, and I think you always have to have that emotion. But, Jeff, looking at, okay, if you're just observing, because we know who these guys are, but if you're just observing, okay, I'm going to come down and I'm coming, I said this, I think in the past few years, like coming down from Mars. I don't know none of these cats.
Yeah, use that example with Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and I don't know, and I don't know who's who. I don't know who's nobody. I'm just watching what I observe. I mean, hands down, you cannot say that overall that Jake Haener doesn't belong. Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shough, they're not head and shoulders above Jake Haener when he's actually done, and when they've had opportunity to have reps and run the offense. I mean, would you agree with that or what?
Yeah, you know, I do think there's some level of he's going against the threes. You're going to look a little better going
right
against the threes. But no, I agree with you. Like, I think there's a reason that Kellen was insistent that Jake is part of this conversation, because Jake is a good quarterback. Like, I think you have three solid young quarterbacks. Are they top-end starting quarterbacks? I'm not sure. But I assure you that all three of these guys can have long NFL careers, whether it's as a starter or a backup. But no, and I mean, like, Jake looks confident out there. And I think that's the difference. When you look at Spencer, you look at Jake, and you look at Tyler, two of those guys are going out there and they look confident. They look like they believe in what they're doing. They trust their reads. They're getting the ball out. And then one kind of looks like he's swimming, right? Like, I think it's I almost kind of feel like this competition is a negative for Tyler at this point, because it's turning rookie moments that should be kind of teaching moments into losses. And I just think the way we're looking at it is every day it's a competition and we're analyzing every rookie quarterback rep.
Right.
It's everything. And at the end of the day, like, but that didn't happen to Spencer Rattler last year. He was able to go out there and just learn at the NFL level, second and third team reps. Same thing with Jake the year before. And we're not giving Tyler that grace. And I think that's a negative thing. And I would almost prefer to see, like, we end this competition early and say, hey, one of these two guys is a starter and you allow Tyler to grow at the NFL level. Because the discourse around Tyler Shough at this point is a lot more like he's the number 4 overall pick when in reality he's the number 40 overall pick.
Well, you know, Jeff, that's a great point, and you enlightened me today. And I said, well, Jeff, you got to share this with the Houdat Nation, and because I think it's a better example than what I tried to give, because it does matter what the team has invested in you and where you drafted. They might say, no, it's, everybody has a clean slate, whether you're a draft pick or you're a free agent. No, that's a bunch of BS. I mean, to a certain extent. Now, if you're a free agent that is dominant, no, maybe a diamond in the rough, you give it an opportunity. But I had said, if you look at the example of the Patriots, and he didn't went thrown to the Wolves right away. You know, no one had expectations for the Patriots last year, so they went with Jacoby Brissett. Then all of a sudden, Drake May is the guy, a week six against the Texans. And then Holly finishes the season. Everyone's encouraged about this upcoming season and the Patriots with Drake May. But then I think you said, Bobby, I got a better example than that. Considering what a team has invested in a potential quarterback and a draft pick, that all comes into consideration. So I want you to explain to the Houdat Nation the example you brought up to me, which I think makes total sense. And it's dealing with Super Bowl winning quarterback Jalen Hurts with the Eagles.
Yeah, no, and yeah, I was thinking about this because I listened to the whole Drake May thing, and I was like, it just doesn't work because when you draft a guy number three, you have to play that guy, whether it's week one or whether it's week 10 or whether it's week eight, whatever. You're going to have to play that guy. It's just a matter of time, and you're not going to worry about, oh, well, what if the guy ahead of him is like, Jacoby Brissett was never winning that job. It was always going to be Drake May. It was a matter of when, not if. But the guy that makes more sense is Jalen Hurts, because you go back to 2020, Jalen Hurts is coming out of college. Very similar situation, right? He starts at Alabama, loses his job to Tua, ends up transferring to Oklahoma, where he kind of rebuilds that draft stock, becomes an NFL prospect. I was at the Peach Bowl. They got completely trucked by LSU that year, but Jalen Hurts was a Heisman finalist. He was fantastic. Ends up falling into the second round. The Eagles take him at number 53, so 13 spots lower than Tyler Shuck, but
right?
Similar situation. The biggest difference is the Eagles at that point had Carson Wentz. Whereas, like, I feel like Derek Carr going into this season is their, that would have been their Carson Wentz type goal, right? Like, if they had Carr right now, we would be talking about this the same way they were talking about Jalen
like Carson Wentz and Hurts, right?
Because it wasn't really a competition. That year, Jalen Hurts didn't even go into the season as the backup. Nate Sudfeld was the backup. Jalen Hurts ended up turning into the backup because they wanted to use him as a scrambling quarterback. Like, that's how he got onto the field for the first time. Jalen Hurts didn't get into a game until week 13 that season. Carson Wentz was benched against the Packers. Jalen Hurts gets in. He gets his first start the next week, and Saints fans should remember this because the Saints faced them that week in Jalen Hurts' first start. Miles Sanders and Jalen Hurts go off.
He ran all over us. Nobody had 100 yards rushing.
Allowed a 100-yard rusher in like 3 years, and they allowed two in one game, Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders. And we've seen how that's gone, right? And I don't think it's lost on Kellen Moore, who coached Jalen Hurts last year, how that development worked for him. Because when he got in week 13, he was ready to go. Saints fans saw him. And I'm sorry, week 14. Like, he was ready for that game. And I think that's not lost on the Saints coaching staff. That's not lost on the front office. Like, guys don't have to start week one to be successful in the NFL. And I think that when you're looking at if you want an example of that strategy of starting a guy and letting it play out and going to the second round pick, that's it. Like, that is the best example you can find. And Kellen Moore had a firsthand look at how that guy has turned into a Super Bowl champion quarterback.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff, the short time and the few years now that I've known you, that's like an A+. If I was your professor, great. I was like, well
gold star for Jeff today.
No, it's an A+. That is an awesome example how, you know, fans don't want to have patience. Some organizations don't want to have patience, but that's what it truly takes at times. That's why you got to see, you know, always say the light at the end of the tunnel and the potential. And hopefully that light at the end of the tunnel, always says, not that train coming right at you. And and then people don't realize, you know, you talk about going from the penthouse to the outhouse. This is, was it before COVID? When Carson Wentz was, until he got hurt, was up for MVP in the whole league. And it was a big enough sample size, like 12 games. I want to say then he got hurt, then it was just downhill all from there. So you never know how quickly things could change. But boy, but thanks, Jeff, for enlightening me about that, because I like that example way better than Derek May. It's just like, but I don't know if the fans like, oh, why did we draft this guy? Why is he not playing? You know, everybody, okay, slow your roll. You know, the bottom line is you have to see might be baby steps, even though we don't have the patience to drive through, you know, how we are. I want it now. I want it now.
Yeah, everything now.
But no, Jalen Hurts is a perfect example.
Fault, right? Like, part of that is the media's fault, because, like, we're the ones who are out there. We're hyping right. everything up, you know, because it's like we're excited about it, right? And I think sometimes, like, we end up not allowing that grace too. So, I don't know. It's a weird situation. But I still – Tyler Shuck is swimming right now. But I still feel good about Tyler Shuck, and that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm going to tell you right now that Spencer Rattler, if I had to play a game today, would be my starter. That doesn't mean I'm quitting on Tyler Shuck. It means he's got to develop.
Amen. Amen. That's a good point, Jeff.
Always awesome stuff, Jeff. Besides today's practice report, what else you got going on at WWL.com right now?
Yeah, I had a story up on Kendre Miller. You know, that running back competition is going to be fascinating. We talked to him earlier in camp. You know, he's feeling healthy for the first time in his career, at least from the start of the season. He's not dealing with a knee injury, not dealing with an ankle. You know, he didn't pull his hamstring in the first practice of camp. So, you know, just some insight into his process and how that has gone for him. You can check that out.
Awesome stuff, as always. Talk to you tomorrow on Sports Talk, man.
For sure, guys. See
you. All right, Jeff.
That's Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, also WWL's digital content producer.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.